Hello and welcome to episode 73 of the Family Gamers Podcast.
I am your host, Andrew, and as always, I am here with my lovely wife, Anitra.
That's me.
And we are here. It is an odd-numbered episode, which means that we have some guests on the show. We have been having some awesome pre-show banter, so I'm very excited to welcome to the show Brian and Jill Bollinger. They are the founders of Wild East Game Company. How are you guys doing tonight?
We are doing great.
Great.
All right. So we're having you guys on because we have like a special relationship with Wild East Game Company. I mean, it's true. So we originally found you guys through a friend of a friend, and you guys were kickstarting this game called Pirates
of the Caribbean, Farm,
which is this hilarious like pun, and we tell it to our friends, and they all laugh, and then we're like, no, really, it's like actually a game that we have. It's on the shelf over there. You want to play it? And they're like, oh, sure, fine, whatever. And so we bring out this game, and we have a lot of fun. And now you guys are kickstarting the expansion to Pirates, which is Curse of the Farmer's Wife.
In the game, you know, the storyline will be that the farmer's wife has realized the rats are eating her pie, and so she randomly poisons a few of them. so there'll be poison cards that you put with the pie cards face down, and as you steal a pie, you risk possibly being poisoned, which usually just means you lose a turn.
Huh.
Interesting dynamic.
Yeah, adds a little something to the game.
And did I see something in there about there's a stretch goal that has to do with some shady characters that you could be picking up?
So we have a couple stretch goals that are on there. The one that's on there now is Rat Fink. If we get to 4,000, we'll do Rat Fink. And basically, if you play Rat Fink, the first time he's tabled, all the other rats on the table that have a strength of one have to go to the discard pile.
Right, which is a problem.
So,
it totally changes the game.
The cards that really, like, mess people up a lot, I kind of make those stretch goal cards because people like the gotcha cards. But if you have too many of them, it kind of throws off the balance of the game. But
right.
The second one after that is called Telltale Tim. And this game, the expansion uses dice for a couple of the cards to roll and see what the outcome of the card is. And if you have Telltale Tim tabled, oh, that's like a tongue twister.
You can
roll any of the die roll. If you don't like either your roll or somebody else's, you can re-roll it once.
Oh, cool.
Neat. That sounds like a pretty different kind of dynamic to the game. So that'll be pretty interesting. I mean, Pirates in general has always been sort of this awkward balance between, you know, how big do you want your crew to get because you want the bigger pies because they're worth more points versus potentially losing crew members or anything like that. And so a card like Rat Fink, if you hit that stretch goal, which I'm guessing you probably will given where you are right now, that's really going to mess up any potential strategy that you could possibly have.
I mean, all the stronger rats are left, so, but depending on what's in your crew, through playtesting it, it's been pretty funny to see when it comes out, just people's reactions of who's excited for it to happen and who's really not excited.
Well, I mean, I never got strong rats. I was kind of like, oh, look, I have seven, you know, strength one rats out. That's terrific. So I foresee this card causing problems for me.
I mean, I like to use my strongest rats when I steal a pie because those are the ones people try to lure away from me the most.
Right.
So it would be very like me to have a very weak crew for safety's sake of having my crew members stolen, but that card would just wipe out my crew. That strategy.
So, yeah, that's pretty interesting. You know, you've got a lot of stuff going on over at Wild East. So we actually talked about one of your games when we came back from Boston Fig. We got a chance to play. Actually, it was me and our middle child, Asher. Yeah. We got a chance to hang out with Jill and play some Pitman. So this is a game that I guess will be coming to Kickstarter sometime, probably in early to mid 2018.
On Kickstarter during PAX East. That's our tentative plan.
Okay, cool. Right, so talk about Pitman a little bit. Talk about what that game is and what kind of the target audience is for that.
It's a little bit like poker combined with liar's dice. It's probably the best I can say. You have there's 10 dice in the game, and you're bidding on the number you think you can roll on up to 10 dice. And you have cards that will tell you how many dice you can roll, but you don't. When the time comes to roll the dice, you can lie about how many dice you can roll or not. People can challenge you, and the challenges can be blocked. And depending on, you know, if you challenge people, other people get knocked out of the game. But if your challenge gets blocked, then you're locked out of the game. So it has a little bit of the psychological play that you might have with poker, but it also has a little bit of luck because there is some dice rolling. It took several years, and there were some big changes to the game, but we think we have it pretty well balanced at this point.
So it's like the press your luck bluffing game.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember
that's
when
a good description.
Yeah, when we played it, we kind of talked about it afterwards, and our takeaway from it was it really feels like the kind of game that you play on the back porch after you've worked a hard day in the field, and you're just kicking back to relax with a root beer, and you're like, want to play some Pitman? Yeah, let's play some Pitman. And it kind of had that feel to it. So
I like it. So far, I think it's my favorite game. I just like the idea of challenging somebody with what I say I can roll. And if I'm not lying, I get all the points without having to roll the dice.
Yeah.
I'm not good at rolling, but I love to play the cards that really mess everyone up. So I really enjoy that.
That's my favorite thing to do, too.
Yeah,
the bandit cards.
Yeah.
You're the devious manipulator in the background, I see.
I always try to get everyone to raise their bid and keep going higher, and then I bail out and let them roll.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a little bit different from a lot of the stuff we play in our house, only because it's definitely a psychological bluffing experience, and I think that's really tough, at least for our 9-year-old and our 6-year-old, to kind of get their minds around, and which is why I kind of have this caricature of, you know, scruffy old men on the back porch, I suppose.
Although I'm really impressed at Boston Fig. I sat down with a family who had some pretty young kids also, you know, and they did great. I mean, having to give them a little bit of guidance and suggestions, but in general, I was surprised how quickly they picked it up and how they really wanted to keep going with it.
Right.
I was kind of impressed.
Mean, yeah, I never felt like the mechanics were complicated, and I think that's kind of a testament to the playtesting. You guys said you've been working on it for a long time, to get all that stuff out and for it to all be pretty straightforward. Maybe our kids are just bad at bluffing.
Well,
I know Asher especially has basically every tell in the book.
Well, you would think that, but Asher actually just has the super nervous tells anytime he gets into the game, whether he's bluffing or telling the truth, so it actually works really well.
So that was cool at Boston Fig, because I had never seen that game. I didn't even know it was there, and you had this giant banner, and so we had to obviously sit down and play it. And we didn't even get the chance to catch up for an interview there, so I'm super glad that we got a chance to have you on the show. So let's see. So we're nearing the end of 2017, and you've got Curse of the Farmer's Wife, which will wrap up. When this show releases, it'll be...
It'll have about a week left.
It'll have a couple days left.
You know, our goal is to have the games always available, or at least, you know, for a long time. So anyone that doesn't get our stuff on Kickstarter can still get it from us either on our website or Game Joe's, or we see our stuff on Amazon from other people and that kind of stuff. So it's not like if you didn't get it, you're not going to get it ever.
Right.
Although you might not get the promo cards ever. You can at least get the game.
Right. Yeah. So when this show comes out, there's only a couple, 2 or 3 days left to get yourself on that Kickstarter. If you already have the original game, Pirates of the Caribbean Farm, the expansion is nice and cheap. It's $11 for the expansion, and if you're in the U.S., shipping is included. So that's pretty awesome. If you don't have the original game, and this sounds like the kind of game that might appeal to you, it's $35 for basically the whole thing. So the base game and the expansion when that releases. And it says on here February 2018 is estimated delivery. I will say that everything I've ever ordered from you guys has come super fast. So from a fulfillment perspective, if you've ever been burned by a Kickstarter, this is probably not this is not the company that you need to worry about in that regard.
Well, since the game has already reached its goal, we've already put the cards into production.
So that's awesome.
So we're not waiting to find out where we already started.
Hmm. Excellent.
Speaking of fulfilled Kickstarters, you did have another Kickstarter in 2017 that is well completed and fulfilled, and that's a game called Ill-Tempered Tikis.
Yes, so that game would be more on the lines of something like Skippo or Phase 10 in complexity. Mm-hmm. It's not like my mom can play that game. So I have like this mom test. If my mom can play a game with me without me having to keep telling her what to do, then it passes the mom test. So that game passes the mom test.
Awesome.
And basically there's five different tiki gods. And then there's five different colors of each god for a total of like a set of 25. Then there's three sets and a couple wilds. And you're trying to collect an entire tiki family of the same color. So you want five different tiki faces with different names, but all of the same color.
Okay.
And there's a few things you can do to mess up other people, but other than that, it's a pretty straightforward game.
Cool. So tell me what your favorite thing is about making games.
Oh, well, I actually enjoy the process of making the games. And they come in different orders, like for Pirates, I was sitting at my kitchen table trying to figure out how to make a game for a dollar, which clearly that didn't do. But I thought of the pun, like pirate, like rats that eat pies. And if they lived on a farm that grows carabines, then I get the Pirates of the Carabine Farm. And so the whole game came out of that pun.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then the reverse was true for Pitman. So the storyline for Pitman is that coal miners used to play this down in the coal mines. Because they weren't allowed to surface for their lunch break. They would just, like, bring a sandwich down and, you know, whatever, bet money or bet hours of work, whatever. And but for, like, the first year, it didn't have a name. So, like, I'd order a deck of sample cards, and the top card would say unnamed game number two. And people kept asking me, well, what's the storyline? So this time I had a game that worked mathematically, but I had no idea what the theme was. And for Pirates, I had a total theme, but I had no idea what I wanted the game to be.
It's funny. Well, what about Ill-Tempered Tikis? Where did that come from then?
So we have a set of cards that we made, and the idea was the cards could be used to play several games, and it would come with a rule book for like six games, and then you can make your own. And mm-hmm. So there's a game in there called Rainbow Rush, and we just basically refaced it and sold it as its own game. And we have another game that's coming out. We're not going to kickstart it. It will just be available in a couple months. That is super competitive. We held a contest with high school kids and said, you know, if you can invent a game with this, we'll pay you for your game. And a 15-year-old girl came out with this game called Slapdown, where you take 25 pairs, like that are distinct pairs, and there's dice that match colors and symbols, and you put the pairs all over the table, but their cards are mixed up. And you roll the dice, and the first person to slap both cards for that pair gets that pair. Mm-hmm. And you go until they're all gone from the middle. But as the pairs start disappearing from the middle of the table, people can actually steal them from your collection. So you have to protect your own.
Ooh.
And it's like loud and it's noisy and like it starts out friendly and people just get irritated while they play. It is so much. The rules are so simple, and it is just fun to watch people play that.
Sounds like a good opportunity for a youth group leader to pick up a game and then teach people about compassion.
Yeah, we totally. On the box cover, it says Slapdown, and then the tagline is the Unfriend Maker.
Wow,
I like it. And you guys have another game that I have on my shelf called Lightning Dice.
Yes, that was in that game. You have little cards with pictures of dice. There's a scoreboard. Everybody has six dice. You flip over a card, and you either try and match the pictures of the six dice by rolling your own, or the card may give you an action like stack your dice like a pyramid or spin your dice like a top. The first person to match the card or complete the task gets the points, gets 2 points, and moves up the tracker, the score tracker. Or there's a way you can roll all of your own player number and go up 1 point, or roll somebody else's player number and knock them down a point. So if somebody starts to get ahead a little bit, you can kind of team up on them and try and bring them back down. Unless they're really fast, then they're just They're just good.
But we wanted a game where everyone played at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that just kind of was something that we really were looking to create.
Yeah, actually, I made that game because my real job, I guess, would be is I'm a youth pastor. I work with kids. And I just wanted a game that every player played every turn all the way till the game was over. But I also wanted the game to be, like, really quick. So that game pretty much plays in about 6 to 12 minutes. This is not like Monopoly where, like, people get bumped out or Risk, and then everyone's like, okay, what do I do now until you guys are done? Like,
right.
Yeah.
Like, you're in the game the whole time, and everyone's playing every turn.
Mm-hmm.
I really like games like that.
Basically, any family is going to like games like that, right? Where you don't have some kid that has lost and then they wander off and they start destroying your house while you're trying to catch a game with everybody else.
And it works like when we go to people's houses for game nights. You know, there's 20 people playing games and like five people are waiting for another game. We're like, look, here, let's play this really quick.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's awesome. Well, I mean, you kind of threw Amazon out there as one place where people can get your stuff. What's the best place for people to go to pick up your games?
We have a website, wildeastgames.com. Just because of the way that we do our price point and our marketing, we list everything at full retail. So I would be super happy for people to go to our site and buy stuff, but we honestly know that you can probably get it cheaper on Amazon. I've seen our stuff on eBay, and I've seen Pirates on Walmart.com. So not in their stores, but on their website, you can go and get it from Walmart even.
That's pretty cool. All right. Well, what about getting in contact with you? How can people get in contact with you guys online?
We have a Facebook page, Wildeast Games, or, you know, Facebook/Wildeast Games. And again, the website is wildeastgames.com, or if you want to email me or Jill, it's brian@wildeastgames.com or jill@wildeastgames. And it's Brian with an I, because I know there's two ways to spell Brian.
Because why would you spell Brian differently?
I don't know. Good way to remember it.
Very nice. Very nice.
All right. And what I will do to make it easier for anyone who's listening to the show and is interested in checking out the Kickstarter, if you go to thefamilygamers.com/pirates, it will bring you right to the Kickstarter page for Curse of the Farmer's Wife. So that'll be very easy for anybody who is looking to check out the game, which I highly recommend you do. It is a very fun game and is very approachable for really pretty much all ages.
Yeah.
Right. Definitely. So. A lot of fun there. Really like it a lot. I think it's going to be it for us this week on the show. As always, you can get a hold of us on the Facebooks.
At FamilyGamersAA.
Or on Twitter, at FamilyGamersAA. Or on Instagram, at FamilyGamersAA. You can always email us.
It works. Why change, right?
Yeah, you can always email us, Andrew@thefamilygamers.com.
Anitra@thefamilygamers.com. And yes, my name has an I and an R, and...
It's very confusing.
But you can try.
So we look forward to getting feedback from all of our listeners about this show, about any of our shows. Please subscribe to the show at your podcast subscription source
and
of choice.
Leave us a review.
And
let us know
what
you think.
Leave us a review if you would be so willing. This is episode 73 of the Family Gamers Podcast. And until next week, play games with your kids.